This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Happy Friday, everyone. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, all you got to say is play ESPN Radio. Shea Cornett and Bart Scott here with you. I'm filling in for Alan Hahn today. And we are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can give us a call, 888-729-3776. Tune in for football action Sunday as the Steelers host the Buccaneers. Coverage begins at noon Eastern on select ESPN Radio stations. And that should be a good one. Tom Brady and the Bucs just trying to steer the ship in the right direction. And the Steelers... I don't know, Bart. I don't really have words.
They're slightly better than Chicago, but not by much.
Okay, fine. I think the Steelers might be one of the worst teams, too, in the NFL. Like, throw them in there. Bears, Steelers, Colts, Commanders, Jags maybe sometimes. I don't know. They're really bad. But anyways, okay, let's talk about teams that are good. Bills, Chiefs this Sunday, Cowboys, Eagles this Sunday. An AFC, NFC, two matchups that obviously will have us looking to the postseason. But let's focus in on the Cowboys because, of course, that's what we always do here. It feels like at ESPN. Yeah. And, you know, when Jerry Jones uttered the word quarterback controversy in a very weird way with the Cooper Rush situation, and yes, he's been undefeated, we know this, since he filled in for Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott got hurt week one. It's a good situation to be in if you're Dallas, and you're right, I think you said it earlier, Bart, like he's, you know, fixed a problem that we thought Mike McCarthy would have, obviously, in the meantime. But now this is becoming a thing the closer and closer we get to Dak Prescott actually returning. And Troy Aikman, who's our Monday Night Football analyst, was on 96.7 The Ticket and had this to say about the Cowboys quarterback situation.
They win a big road game against Philadelphia. I could see where there is some pause and you say, well, you know, how exactly do we handle this? And I don't know. I'm not in no way. Yeah, you know, I can see it now. The headlines are,
Aikman says play rush.
That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. I mean, Dak is the quarterback of this franchise. I love the guy, and they're better with Dak at quarterback. But the team's playing good football right now.
All right. So
is the offense better when Dak plays, or is the team better? That's the difference.
Okay, that's a good point. Like, from where I sit, I don't know why we're even having this conversation. And it's all Jerry Jones' fault. It is. It's all his fault that we're even talking about this. But now, like, has he been cleared medically to play? He had a doctor's appointment Tuesday. Again, we'll get more clarity on that in about 10 minutes. But, like, they're clearly not rushing Dak back, which is great. I think that's a really good thing. But because they have this luxury situation. But are we seriously going to consider the fact that if Cooper Rush figures out a way to win, if he does indeed start, obviously, on Sunday against the Eagles on the road against a really good football team, that he perhaps could be the quarterback to stay when you've paid Dak Prescott all this money and he's the face of your Cowboys organization?
I mean, you ride the hot hand, right? I mean, you ride the hot hand, and what Cooper Rush has given Dallas is time to make sure that when Dak comes back, he's completely healthy, because if that thing gets injured again, that could cost him the rest of the season if whatever surgery was done is, you know, negated because he gets injured on the same thumb again. But the last time we saw this, first of all, ironically enough, it was Tony Romo, who was at the end of his contract, when Dak Prescott came in and eventually took over for him. And then even when Tony Romo came back and was healthy, Dak remained the starter, and we know how that story ended. You know, but the most glorious – well, there's been two glorious stories of this that's happened in history. And I'm not saying Cooper Rush is any one of these guys. But I remember when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe in his chest plate, and Drew Bledsoe had just got a $100 million contract. It was this sparsely known kid from Michigan that split time with Drew Henson that eventually took that spot. And even when Drew Bledsoe was healthy, and even when the kid got injured, Drew Bledsoe came in and helped them win a playoff game, or helped them win a game to get to the playoffs, and the job still went back to the kid. Kurt Warner was a guy that came in and replaced a guy named Trent Green, and the greatest show on turf was created. So it is a narrative where this has happened before, where you have a high-priced starting quarterback, and how ironic would it be that the same way you get him, the same way you lose him, if Dak Prescott was to lose his job the same way that he got his job from Tony Romo. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Cowboys' schedule, Bart.
It's light. Weeks off.
It's so light. Like, the heavy lifting has already been done, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, Cooper Rush. But they've got, outside of the game coming up this weekend against Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football, they have Detroit, and then they have Chicago, and then they have their bye week.
JV.
Do you think at this point, if whether or not he's medically cleared to play,
yes.
You're the one that said ride the hot hand. Do you think it's plausible for the Cowboys to perhaps keep Cooper Rush in until the bye week and then make the switch then?
I see that, but you also want Dak to get some of the rust off when you have a legitimate non-threat. When we talk about the legitimate non-threat is, you know, because when they come back, you don't want him to go back against the Packers, and that's his first game seeing live action. And then he sees the Vikings, that's a live action. Then you see the Giants, who are one of the uprising teams. And you talk about Wink Martindale. They struggle with them in New York early on. So, you know, you really want Dak to come get his rhythm, his timing down with one of the worst pass defenses with the Lions. And then you want him to come and go against a Bears team, which isn't a legitimate threat to keep up as far as points with him.
Right.
So okay. I would say get him in there, get him used to getting hit, get him used to carrying the ball, you know, keep him out of harm's way, maybe get him 20 to 21 passes, run the football because you know you can win that way with Dak. But when you get to this bye week, you really have to consider the way in which you're going to use Dak Prescott because you thought, okay, everybody wants to say, let Russ cook, let this guy, you know, let him loose, turn him loose, they're holding him back. Sometimes coaches are holding players back because they know him better than we know him.
Yeah,
right. We know what they can't do. So I feel like sometimes we want to let Dak air it out, and you got to live with the results of it. Like it's going to be good at times because they had the number one offense last year. It's going to be good at times. It's going to be bad at times when he makes those mistakes and turns the ball and puts the ball over in harm's way because he has so much confidence in himself. Where a guy like Cooper Rush knows, man, I can't try and fit that in there. They need me to take care of the football, and that's the way that they can win. But, you know, you talk about, you know, all these guys and all this smoke, man. And I know we got some – you know what? We got some sound, right? You know, DeMarcus Lawrence. Like,
yeah, so that's,
talking,
that's what I was going to say.
Because I'm getting irritated with Dallas and their bloated confidence.
Okay, so they have bloated confidence. But on the other side, DeMarcus Lawrence, who's the Cowboys defensive end, feels like he's been hearing a lot about Jalen Hurts. We all have. Well, we've talked about the Eagles. I heard Rob Ninkovich say – I don't know if it was on the radio yesterday. He was like, I feel like the Eagles are flying under the radar. I was like, what are you – talking about Ninko, I feel like we've been talking about the Eagles forever. And obviously DeMarcus Lawrence is hearing it, and he's sick of hearing about this quarterback the Eagles have in Jalen Hurts. Here's DL.
How about this? That's the last question I'm hearing about Hurts. For real, though.
You talk a lot about Michael Carter.
Because I really don't care. Y'all asking me questions like I should be worried about them. You know, never worried, never scared, never, you know, quivering from any situation. But I just want y'all to understand that, you know, we coming to play too.
DeMarcus Lawrence, never worried about you because you ain't never won nothing. And we tired of hearing about Michael Dan Parsons. What are you talking about? The whole league is tired of he's LT. It's year two. We tired of hearing about him, but we still do our professional job. I'm sure Jalen Hurts would say, I don't want to hear nothing about him. We got the best offensive line. He's going to be barbecue chicken. Ain't nobody saying that. Answer the damn question. We tired of hearing about the damn Cowboys all the time. Every year, this is the year. We've been saying it's the year for the last 20 years. Y'all the most overcovered franchise in sports outside of the Lakers and the Knicks. Like, come on, man. Like, so stop
it. Talk about the Knicks anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. We finally turned that page.
We turned that all
the way
down.
But we still got to watch them on Christmas.
Yeah, no.
No matter what, we're going to just throw that down with my eggnog.
Speaking of, Russell Westbrook now is going to try coming off the bench. That's a story for a later day. But why haven't we tried this sooner besides the last preseason game? Anyways, he makes a decent point, and I like the chip on his shoulder. Like, I don't want to be hearing about Jalen Hurts anymore. I'm focused on my own team. Like, I don't want to be worried about this. But you're exactly right, Bart. Like, dude, hello. We've been sitting here talking about your team and your quarterback situation and your defense, and Micah Parsons is the next coming, too. Like enough already.
Yeah.
And the reality of the situation is the Eagles are the best team in the division.
Right, and guess what? They have the higher-rated defense.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? We talking about your defense, how good your defense is. Oh, and this team's defense is better. We shouldn't be talking about George, but because you got a star on the side of your helmet, we're contractually obligated.
It's true. All right, let's get some details on what the holdup is with Dak Prescott, truly, because it sounds like he visited the doctor this week, and I don't have clarity as to what that means for their franchise quarterback going forward. Todd Archer is going to give us the absolute latest. That's after Bart tells you about body armor.
You know what this season is, Shay? What? It's football season! Body Armor is the choice for hard work and hydration, whether you're running plays on the field or cheering on the home team. Body Armor keeps you at top of your game with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, riboflavin, or red dye 88. Buy any one Body Armor between now and November 1st for a chance to win a $100 DraftKings gift card. No purchase necessary. Gear up this fall with Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of the U.S. 21 years or older. 20. Got to be We should play this as the walk-up music when they go shake hands. When you think about Philadelphia and the Cowboys.
Yeah, like right before the coin toss. Maybe Todd Archer's going to start something for us here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speakers. All you got to say is play ESPN Radio. I am Shay Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn today alongside Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and Todd Archer is joining us. He's our ESPN Cowboys reporter. Now, Todd, I don't know if you heard me say this, but help me with a little bit of clarity here on the Dak Prescott situation. From my understanding, and again, I need you to help me clarify, it sounds like Cooper Rush is slated to start against the Eagles on Sunday night. However, I know Dak visited the doctor on Tuesday, and we were supposed to know more about how he is progressing and if he's been medically cleared. What can you tell us?
Well, he's thrown the last 2 days, you know, off to the side, although he did take a couple of red zone snaps, or not snaps, but red zone individual work yesterday. It's the most throwing that he's done. Mike McCarthy told us today that, yes, he is a little bit sore, but today's a regen day, the way the Cowboys work their week, and they have a practice tomorrow. He anticipates Dak going through that again tomorrow, throwing before the game on Sunday. And in all likelihood, though, guys, he's going to be inactive again. It's going to be Cooper Rush and Will Greer as the Cowboys quarterbacks, and I think you look at the Lions game as the one where Dak will be coming back to play, because Mike McCarthy has told us he wants to have a full week of practice with him before he comes back. He's not really practiced yet at all, so hard time imagining he'll be even active as the number two this week behind Cooper Rush.
Now, listen, we hear the frustration in DeMarcus Lawrence's voice about saying how he's so tired of hearing about Jalen Hurts. Jalen. How about we're tired of hearing about Michael Parsons, because when we talk about the defense and we give all the flowers and roses to Quinn and his defense – but when we come into this matchup, is not Philadelphia the higher-ranked defense?
Yes, you are correct. They are fourth in yards per game. The Cowboys are seventh. But the Cowboys are third in points, and the Eagles are seventh. So how do you want to look at it, right? Are points more – you played on the best defenses. What mattered more to you, yards or points?
Yeah, it depends on opponents.
That tells me it's points.
We're talking to Todd Archer right now. He's our ESPN Cowboys reporter here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Shay Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn alongside Bart Scott. All right, so obviously what we would have never anticipated saying, Todd, a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago, was that this was probably the premier game in the NFC. And it really is, between the Cowboys and the Eagles. I hate to keep bringing it back to the quarterback position, but hey, that is what everyone wants to know. If Cooper Rush can find a way to win on the road against the best team in the division, maybe in the entire NFC, what does that say about this squad? Does it say more about Cooper Rush and the position he's in and the predicament the Cowboys are in, or how the team plays around him?
I think it says about what the team plays around him. And a lot of people want to make a comparison between, you know, Dak and Romo in 2016, and the Cowboys stuck with Dak as he was hot. He won 11 straight games. Well, you know, they got to think about doing that again if they win five in a row with Cooper Rush as their starter. But there is a pretty large difference between that season and what we've seen here with Cooper Rush, and it's the points that they scored. During that 11-game win streak in Dak's rookie year, the Cowboys failed to score more than 24 points just once. The Cowboys have scored more than 24 points just once under Cooper Rush, 25 a couple weeks ago against the Giants. So this isn't an offensive juggernaut the way the 2016 team was, and how they were set up with that offensive line and the running game and the receiver. So this, I do think when Dak comes back, the Cowboys adopt a little bit of this formula in how they're going about it, but they have the ability to make more big plays with Dak as the quarterback. So I don't, you know, we all remember what Jerry said about, hey, I'd love to have a quarterback controversy. I think he just wanted it. He didn't really want it, but he would have meant his team won, and that's what's happening. But I don't think you're going to see anybody in that locker room that would say, man, we should really stick with Cooper Rush as the guy. This is Dak Prescott's team, and I don't think anything has changed, even though Cooper Rush has done a great job and done exactly what you'd want your backup quarterback to do.
So basically, you're saying this is more of a Tom Brady and Drew Bledsoe type of situation, is basically what you're saying, right?
Well, wouldn't Dak be Bledsoe?
Yeah, exactly. Dak could be Bledsoe, and like they didn't play and put up a lot of gaudy numbers under Tom, but they found the formula. And to your point, I wonder if they adopt this recipe, and I wonder if Dak has the humility to play this way, because it would argue that they're telling him to, instead of playing at a master class, they're telling him to go to football 201 and not football 501. I wonder if he will have the humility to be able to take a step back, knowing that if he airs the ball out, it kind of puts your defense at risk, because it shortens the game. I mean, it lengthens the game, and it creates more possessions for both teams.
Right. And knowing what I know about Dak and being around him since his rookie year, I think he would. Now I think you'll see – I think I don't want to say the offense has been in a shell a little bit, or they've hid stuff from Cooper Rush, because they have thrown it down the field and he has taken some shots. But I think you have the ability to make more big plays with Dak as your guy than you do with Cooper Rush. So it won't open up to what they were a year ago when they're averaging 31 points a game, and because they don't have Amari Cooper running around, they don't have a healthy Dalton Schultz, they don't have every weapon that they had a year ago. So I think they even acknowledged coming into the season before Dak got hurt against Tampa that they were going to have to play differently than they have with Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy has told us time and time again, it's been pretty much like, put the pedal down, Kellen, and go. And I think you've seen Kellen Moore kind of realize a bigger picture view of how everything needs to work together. And I think Dak will be able to operate within that structure while also adding some of the things that he really does well. And you have, now you have a Michael Gallup who's healthy. CeeDee Lamb is much more comfortable. They feel better about their offensive line. They feel better about their tight ends. And obviously we know what Zeke and Tony Pollard have done in the first five games of the season. So where they were against Tampa to where they are now offensively is really different, just in terms of their feelings about what they are and what they can be. And, you know, but they realize they have to score more than 18 points a game if they really want to be a legitimate team, because – you can't – maybe Bart's defenses in Baltimore could do this, but you can't expect your defense just to allow one touchdown a game and win that way the entire season. Yeah, and that's what the Cowboys have done so far.
Yeah, the game has changed. But the opponent's getting a lot more difficult now when you consider that, you know, Jalen Hurts has found a way how to throw the ball in the middle of the field. And, you know, for them to think that this is the same Jalen Hurts would be a gross miss, representation, underestimation of – how he's involved in the work that he's put in this offseason. It's going to be a great game. I can't wait to see it. Clash of the Titans. You know, you love divisional opponents with high stakes. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Todd, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and the clarity, obviously, on the quarterback situation there. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
See you later. That's Todd Archer, our ESPN Cowboys reporter, giving us the very latest as we get set for a Sunday night tilt between the Cowboys and the undefeated Eagles. And, like, that's the other thing that I feel like, yes, we've obviously talked a lot about how good this Eagles is and squad is and how they match up in the NFC. This is a team that's undefeated. Now, albeit, they've played Detroit, Minnesota, the Commanders, Jacksonville, and Arizona was a close one. But yet, they're undefeated. They're the last undefeated team. And now they've got a true opponent, obviously, in the Dallas Cowboys. And so we'll see what happens there. Again, I thought it was interesting what he said at the end there, Bart, in terms of how much this Cowboys team has changed. Like, the run game is more established, the receivers have, you know, more chemistry, and they feel a little bit more comfortable. But this offense has all been percolated and gotten better around Cooper Rush. I hate to keep bringing this back up, but it's true. Like, then you're going to insert Dak Prescott into the fold, and he just doesn't have that rhythm and timing because he hasn't been working with these guys the way Cooper Rush has over the last four or five games.
No, absolutely. And talking about rhythm and establish and rust and all those type of things. It's almost like he's going back to the preseason. We don't know how he's going to be able to handle holding that football as well. I think he finally went back to a full-size football. And, you know, they didn't really show us pictures of him throwing the football, right? They are coming out of his hands. You talk about grip strength. We saw Russell Wilson when he had this midseason hand surgery last year. We saw the ball selling. We saw inaccuracy because he just didn't have total control of it. He's going to have to learn how to compensate. And you don't want to do that against a great opponent like, you know, your divisional rival. You want a soft landing, but it doesn't get any easier after the bye week. So he's going to have to stay back and really, you know, put that hand to the test because we don't know how it's going to get sore. And trust me, people are going to be swinging at that hand, and people are going to be attacking that hand. And, you know, it's going to be a target for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we're looking forward to it, though. Eagles, Cowboys, Sunday night, obviously, NFC East up for grabs. Not really. Philadelphia has it unlocked, but nonetheless, this will give us a little glimpse into the future, obviously, and what that division means going forward. All right, coming up next, Draymond Green spoke. That went great, okay? That and more coming up in Audio Files. It's next here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Waking up with KJ and Max.
Can Cooper Rush make plays when you're down big, when your defense doesn't get it done? And you need that other part to be stronger. I don't think Cooper Rush can provide that.
Not.
Dak Prescott is that guy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. It all starts weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
You might be right, Bart. This might be my playlist.
You feel me?
This might be my playlist.
You're in there before your hand cleans, you jumping up doing it. You thought you can't hurt me, but I didn't take it.
I slowly slipped them my iPod mini from back in the day and said, you could use this. I'm not sure what's on it, but feel free. And
you left your Bluetooth on and they're picking up.
Exactly. They went and dove through my Spotify. All right. Shea Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn today alongside Bart Scott here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. All you got to do is say play ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can call us 888-729-3776. Again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Just visit progressive.com. It's time to let the newsmakers do the talking in a segment we like to call
Audio Files. Audio Files. The Audio File.
All right, I like this segment because someone else gets to talk, and then we all get to think about it, ponder, and then weigh in. And so earlier today, we heard from Ron Rivera. Last night, the Commanders beat the Bears in Chicago. It was a low-scoring affair. It was a disaster, and it was sloppy football. But afterwards, we got some gems of some sound from both Justin Fields and from Ron Rivera. And then Carson Wentz weighed in on the sound from Ron Rivera. Let's start with Ron Rivera going off about the fact that there was a report that came out that Dan Snyder was the one that actually chose Wentz. Well, he didn't like that line of questioning post-game. Despite it being a win for the Commanders, a little feisty was Ron Rivera. Here he was after the game last night.
You lose four games in a row, and everybody wants to get you, you know, just get on you. And they've played their asses off. They have. They played their asses off for everybody. They come out and they show up. They work hard. All right? They don't complain. Okay? They hear all the stuff, and they got to deal with it. I get them. I respect them for that because they're resilient. They come back. Everybody keeps wanting to say, I didn't want anything to do with Carson. Well, I'm the guy that pulled out the sheets of paper, that looked at the analytics, that watched the tape when we were at Indianapolis, okay? And that's what pisses me off because the young man doesn't deserve to have that all the time. I'm sorry. I'm done.
The young man doesn't deserve... But Ron Rivera, why does your team suck like the other, not like the other teams? Oh, it's the quarterback. You said it. You're the one set the table.
And then he storms away because he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, and he's frustrated. But again, you were the one that brought all this up. Okay, well then Carson Wentz has now been asked about this quarterback situation that he hasn't brought up not once but twice. And so afterwards, Carson Wentz, the quarterback of the Commanders, said, what do you think about, you know, Ron Rivera's passion regarding this situation? Here's Carson Wentz.
Well, yeah, I mean, Coach Rivera's, he's awesome. You know, I've had a ton of respect for him. Playing in this league for a while from afar, but getting to play for him is even better. It's definitely special, and he's someone that I respect, and he's going to speak his mind, and he's going to be very direct and to the point, and in this business, that means a lot. And I think guys love that about him, and he's gonna be straight up and very motivational. Guys respond to him really well, and I have a lot of respect for him. I'm appreciative of him for what he's done for me.
This dude was 12 for 22 in an NFL football game. Like, if he was keeping it all the way real with your cards, he would tell you that you stink and that, you know, it's over. It's a wrap. It was a hell of a run. You got a Super Bowl ring, and you played well for a couple of games or 2 or 3 years in this league at a high level, and that's saying more than most. But if he was keeping it all the way real and all the way 100 with you because he likes to be honest and blunt and straight up, you're going to end up getting somebody fired.
Well, Ron Rivera doesn't think so, because otherwise he wouldn't be dying on that sword. He's shouting from the rooftops that it was his decision to bring Carson Wentz to Washington.
Well, he's dying on that sword because he knows his owner won't do nothing. We don't even know who's responsible for firing him yet.
Accountability is really not at the top of the list of strengths for anyone within the Commanders organization. Can we just put that out there? Okay, let's leave that there, and let's move on to NBA, because slowly we're creeping closer and closer to the regular season on the hardwood. Draymond Green, okay, took to the podium yesterday, and I'm going to leave this here. I'm going to let you hear it, and then we'll react, Barb, because Draymond Green, you know him from the Warriors. We know the controversy that's been going on between him and Jordan Poole and the Warriors of the last couple of days. He said this, I'm trying to move on from what happened and the incident that obviously made headlines after a video surfaced of him punching Jordan Poole. Take a listen.
If I'm being quite honest, I don't really care what other people think. I don't wake up and come to practice with other people. I don't go to bed at night wondering what the hell the people who think it should be longer is doing. My care is what guys in this locker room think, what people in this organization think. Outside of that, I can really care less what someone has to say. We had our conversations about what we needed to do moving forward, and we're going to do that. You know, we're not going to continue to hold on to the past. I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong this year. I've been proving people wrong my whole life. There are definitely some motivations coming from that's been sparked by some people, and I'm going to use that, and I'm going to do exactly what I do when I'm motivated in a major way. Okay. And I think you and I both know what that is.
Okay, Draymond Green, return to the Warriors. He's going to play tonight in the preseason, obviously, again, as we creep closer and closer to the regular season. And then that's what he had to say, Bart Scott. When I first heard this, I was annoyed, okay? Because I feel like we're deflecting and putting it all back on Draymond, and the spotlight's there and the motivation that he's using. And
motivation, and what?
Exactly. He doesn't
Nobody
care what
he
anyone
can't play
thinks.
Football, basketball. We just said that was a bad move and a bad look.
Thank you.
And you look like a bully. And listen, I'm from Michigan, and I know all about the whole culture and the tough guy stuff. But at some point, it's okay to say, I was wrong, be the bigger person, and just shut your mouth. You don't have to speak. You don't have to answer the question. I understand
say less.
Because you're in the
Isn't
media.
Isn't that what we say now?
Yeah, but
say
that's
less.
Just because he's in the media. He's in the new media, according to him. And he feels like he has to be ultra transparent. No. Lie. Deceive. Like, deflect.
We don't need to go that
far. What I'm saying is, just be humbled by it and say, listen, it's a mistake, and I apologize again to Jordan Poole. Every time you get an opportunity, just say, I apologize to my brother Poole, man, that he has to live this, and that he, you know, that his video of this, and that he's going to be teased, made fun of, gifts made of, all that type of stuff, man. I just apologize for that, man. I'm just going to come back and try and be the best teammate that I can and try and build this relationship back brick by brick. And that's all you have to say, man. We don't care about your agenda. Oh, this is going to lock me in like it's going to galvanize the troops. Like, stop it. How the hell is it going to galvanize the troops because you punch him right in the face?
Exactly. Like, it's his agenda. It's all about him. And it's annoying me now, Draymond. Like,
and my guy is narcissistic.
I already thought that it took him too long to apologize to Poole and everyone else out there. When he's constantly on his podcast or on social media, that annoyed me in itself. And now I just feel like it's disingenuous day in and day out. Like, the motivational tactic You ain't the only athlete that uses this, bro. Like, you're not the only one who hears a comment here and there and goes out and uses it, the chip on their shoulder, to motivate them. It's quite frankly, I think, more common than it is not. So I don't need to hear you say this. And you're right. Like, where's the humility? Where's, like, look, I can't be concerned what everyone else says. Now, I don't care what anyone thinks with the guys in my life. I don't need all that. Like, no kidding. You're making millions of dollars. Why would you? You're Draymond Green. We know your MO. You don't need to sit and tell me this. But it's just, it's quite frankly, and maybe this is like a female term, it's rude. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's rude the way he's approaching everything. And it's really starting to bug me. And I hated the way he approached this. And he's returning to the Warriors now. And he feels like he's back to old Draymond. And this is the things he needs to say. No, bro. You
back
need to approach it different.
You're going for a week, bro. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. You need to approach yourself differently now. Things have come out. Things have happened. Like, this isn't the old team. This isn't old Draymond, like, the way we're carrying on anymore. Like,
how we underestimated a team that just won the championship?
I know.
Like, oh, we got them we got them ranked number 3 behind the Clippers. Like, come on, man. Like, stop it.
I know. I mean, they're still poised for a championship run. I just wish Draymond would handle this with a little bit more class, I guess is the word.
Humility.
Humility, class, any of those, any of the above. Help people affected by Hurricane Ian. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster. Your donation will provide people and communities affected by this devastating storm with food, shelter, relief support, supplies, recovery planning support, and other assistance. Again, that is redcross.org/ESPN. Shea Cornett filling in for Alan Hahn here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. You want to weigh in on the NFL? Because we've got a full slate. It's a football Friday, week 6, Sunday, only 2 sleeps away. That's coming up. We'll get to your calls on week 6 in the NFL. The phone number, 888-729-3776. That's next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
First regular season game of the NBA season comes your way on Tuesday. So as we get set for that, which also means to me, being someone who lives on the East Coast now, Bart, means winter is coming. Winter is coming. But nonetheless, Adrian Wojnarowski is dropping Woj bombs. He's saying that the Lakers are planning on bringing Russell Westbrook off the bench tonight in the Lakers' final preseason game. New head coach Darvin Ham and Westbrook have been exploring the possibility of Westbrook quarterbacking the second unit, and they're going to give it a whirl tonight. My initial reaction to this was, what took so long? Yeah. Why are we waiting until the last preseason game to give this a whirl? Why?
Good point. I mean, he talked to Anthony Davis, told him he was going to play the 5. Listen, Darvin Ham has come in that place and said, look at me. Everybody, look at me. I'm the captain now. Like, listen, we're going to do it how I want to do it. We don't really care. I don't really care about your opinion. My job is to put the team in the best position to win games, and this is what you can do. And how you sell it to him is, hey, man, you can be Jamal Crawford. Hey, man, you can be Vinny Johnson. Like, you can be the microwave. You can, just because you don't start the game don't mean that you can't have some of the biggest effect on the game, right? We're going to give you your own squad. You come off and y'all the run-and-gun show. Right, lay with shooters and give you the opportunity to facilitate. But when you're on the court, you can't be on the court with LeBron because LeBron is the ball dominant player. So you can come in, and this should have been happened, right? When LeBron get his break.
That's what I'm saying, though, Bart. Like, this is stuff that I almost said a different word. We were talking about last year. Like, we understood that it wasn't working with Russell Westbrook in the starting 5. He wasn't gelling with everyone else. He was throwing brick after brick. Why is this just now happening in the final? This should have been talked about and addressed.
That other coach wasn't emboldened. LeBron was running that show, And, you know, you saw it cost him his job. A coach that just 3 years ago won a championship, lost his job. Where did they do that at?
And look, I get it. Like, Russell Westbrook's best attribute outside of Mr. Triple-Double is his confidence. And last year, when you take that out of his game, like, he changes. He's a completely different player. He doesn't play with the same kind of confidence and swagger that he's accustomed to playing with. So now, if you give him this, like, well, lucky you, you're going to quarterback the second team, like, you got to hype him up in a different way and help out his ego a little, maybe that will help that confidence or whatever. I just feel like this is something they should have been working on after you were one of the most disappointing teams all of last year, the entire offseason and the entire preseason, and you're waiting in the last preseason game. Now, it's a long NBA season. I get that. It's like Major League Baseball. Like, you can work things in throughout the entirety of the season and get to where you ultimately want to be. But, I mean, come on. This feels a little late to me, but I guess better late than never would be my response to that. I don't know. We'll find out. We're going to talk a little more football coming up here momentarily. But, again, NBA regular season off and running on Tuesday night. More Bart and Han coming up right now.
Bart really? And Han.
What about your friends? Wow.
No revenge.
Now, see, Bart is making fun of these songs because he feels like it's my playlist, although I hear him singing to every track that we play.
Hey, I got older sisters, man. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I respect TLC, all the greats. Salt and Pepper, Lemon Pepper.
Don't do that. Don't do that to my girls. Don't call them Lemon Pepper. That's a different kind of chicken wing. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Shea Cornett, Bart Scott here with you on Bart and Han. I'm filling in for Alan Han today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-729-3776 is our phone number. 888-SAY-ESPN. We got news from Bart and Han Nation. Carlos is in Jersey. He just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hey, Carlos, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I just want to make a comment about yesterday's game. NFL should be sending out refund checks to everybody who I can pay to show up over there.
It's Amazon.
We're sitting here on TV watching Prime show a guy meditating when he should be pumping off his whole team trying to score some points. Like, what's going on?
First of all, it was a sold-out crowd in Chicago. They were tailgating. They were ready for that primetime game. It don't matter how bad the Bears are. I mean, they just want to get out there and see some decent football.
But the tough part about Prime is – you got to sit there and watch them damn commercials because you don't want to go through the exercise of changing the input.
You're right.
At least give me some more variety on commercials, man. Jeez, okay, I'll
Kevin Hart over and over again.
Yes,
really
like, jeez, okay, I'll bet. Now give me another commercial.
I know it is like points bet, I think it is, and Kevin Hart over and over again. It's true. It doesn't matter, though. We saw bad football a week before on a Thursday night football game. We still came back. That's what we do in the NFL. That's why it's so great. All right, Jay is in New Orleans. News from Bart and Han Nation. Jay just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. Jay, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going today?
Hey, good.
I'm just a fellow Who Dat Nation Saints diehard. And I just needed your expert opinion. Everybody down here, we knew the offense was going to take a step two, three back, and or whatever. But what is surprising is how bad the defense is. And I just wanted y'all take on that. What's the problem?
Yeah, that's
Saints
surprising.
Play the Bengals. Saints play the Bengals at home this weekend, Bart.
This is pivotal. This was surprising to me because when you consider that they went out and got Marcus May, they went out and got a ton of Honey Badger, you thought, okay, well, they got leaders. Yeah, they lost Marcus Williams, but they got Marcus May, who, if he hadn't blown his knee out, would have been one of the top safeties in the market, and Tyrann Mathieu. So you think you had all champions. You know, and this defense is – I thought it was going to be dominant. I thought it was going to be the best thing about this team, and I didn't expect the offense to struggle. I thought, you know, if they were decent last year with Michael Thomas coming back, reclaiming his place at the top, Olave, Jarvis Landry, and Alvin Kamara, I mean, I know Penny went down early in the season, but I thought this was going to be a dominant unit, and I had them as a dark horse – for the Super Bowl. I'm flabbergasted right now. And I know, you know, we talk about Jameis, he broke his back and he shouldn't have been playing and four broken vertebrae. And yeah, that's great. You're tough, but you're hurting the team. And now he's taking that time off. You hope that maybe that was the reason why his play wasn't good, but we don't know that for sure.
Is there a better roster in the NFL that's underachieving the way the Saints are? I mean, truly, like, you laid it out, the guys they went and acquired and who they have. Like, look at this receiving core alone.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. I mean, they lost three straight, and then they got right against Seattle last week and barely squeaked out that win. And, yeah, you got injuries to the quarterback position, but there's just so many – but it's not even just injury to the quarterback. I mean, there's been injuries all over the field. I don't know. I can't quite understand what this Saints team is. It's like they only mentally prepare sometimes for the Buccaneers.
Exactly.
I don't really get it. All right, Pete's in New York. Pete, what's up?
Yo, this is Pete in Brooklyn. What's up, guys? Hakuna Matata, Bart. How we doing?
Hakuna Matatos. I'm Gucci.
All right, listen. This week, Dexter Lawrence, it will be the chance to beat Lamar Jackson. And I told you this a few weeks ago. I said he's the best defensive tackle right now in the league. But I'm telling you what happened was early in the year, I needed to call Dexter. I needed to inspire him, you know, motivate him. But if I called him, I said, yo, this is Pete. You know, he's not going to do anything. So you know what I did? I called him up. I had to inspire one of my favorite people. I said, yo, Dexter, this is Mike Tyson talking with Dexter Lawrence right now. Yo, Dexy, your main objective here is to just eat quarterbacks for lunch, breakfast. Hey, man, they've been playing this Giants fan all my life, man. You know, we won 4 Super Bowls, did, right? But they can hurt us, man. Get up in Giants Stadium, put your hands up, and eat those running backs like chopped cheese sandwiches, baby. That's all I got to say.
Chopped cheese.
I love you guys.
A new New York day, baby. What's up? Dexter Lawrence is balling, man. And listen, for years, like we heard how dominant he was, and they took him pretty high. And you know, this year he's added being able to get to the quarterback a little bit better. And oddly enough, it's always when like a guy's up for an option or something like that, or a long term deal. You know, the Giants need to win now because they're going to have to start trimming his roster down. And I don't know if they have the quarterback that they need, but the surprising move would be where they say goodbye to a guy like Saquon Barkley. It's going to be interesting, and I think we don't talk about this matchup enough, as you know, because 4-1 and 3-2, but you know, we think it's Fugazi, you know, 4-1 maybe when you think about the Giants, and also the Ravens have they haven't been the dominant team that we thought. But man, Greg Roman versus Wink Martindale. People talk about Wink Martindale knowing Lamar Jackson. What about Greg Roman knowing Wink Martindale and the practices and battles they've had practice? I can't wait to see it.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. If the Giants win this game, is it going to be more about the Ravens collapsing? Because you know they'll start out hot, and then something will happen in the second half. The defense will fall apart. Yeah. Are we going to be talking more about the Ravens collapsing constantly or the Giants being on the uptick?
We might start talking about pay the man his money when you talk about Saquon Barkley. That's what we're saying. Hey, sign him up. He's here for the future because that's what he's playing for. I don't think Daniel Jones is here one way or another, especially when a guy like Jimmy G may be available. You know, but the Ravens are getting better. They're getting their pieces back. Bowser's back practicing. He hasn't been there all year. Ajobu, their second-round draft pick that should have been a top-10 pick, is almost here.
Yeah. All right, we'll see. Then we'll talk more about that matchup. And Bills Chiefs coming up next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.